We serve a great God. Thank you, brother. That was beautiful. I am rejoicing. I hope you are too. Let's do something very un-American, but very Christian. Let's not worry about the time. I know that's un-American. If you're an American, you're going to be anxious about the time. Let's open our Bibles to 1 Corinthians 2. And very Filipino, right? We don't worry about the time. Very Russian, too. The Russians right now be like, oh, man, we're going to be here to 1. This will be great. Now, we won't be here to 1, but open your Bibles to 1 Corinthians 2 and consider this question as you do. What does it look like to be a mature Christian? How does a mature Christian respond when schedules change? How does a mature Christian respond to a change in plans? What does it look like to be a spiritual man? The title of the message this morning is The Spiritual Man. And ladies, though the title is The Spiritual Man, this applies to you. I'm simply using terminology from the text of Scripture. Paul here in 1 Corinthians 2, verses 14 to 16, is talking about the contrast between the natural person, someone not born again of the Holy Spirit, and the spiritual person, somebody who has the Spirit of God living inside of him or her and who is walking by the Spirit. And so I want you to notice a few very simple but important truths about the spiritual man or the spiritual woman. 1 Corinthians 2, verses 14 to 16. But the natural man does not receive the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him, nor can he know them because they are spiritually discerned. But he who is spiritual, the spiritual man or woman, judges all things, yet he himself is rightly judged by no one. For who has known the mind of the Lord that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. Now, for several weeks, we have been studying this passage of Scripture that begins up in verse 6. And the main truth is this. Do not lose sight of the main truth. It's stated right in your Bible in verse 6. Verse 6, however, we speak wisdom among those who are mature. That's the truth of this section. We speak wisdom, Paul says. And I tell you, it's the same in the church today. We speak wisdom among those who are mature. And we, over the past few weeks, have been speaking wisdom about the wisdom that we speak. Did you catch that? We've been speaking wisdom about the wisdom that we speak. And first of all, we have looked at the source of this wisdom we speak. The source of this wisdom is, it's not of this age, verse 6, nor is it of the rulers of this age who are coming to nothing, but it's of God. We speak the wisdom of God. And since God himself is the source of the wisdom we speak, that means this is wisdom from above. This is wisdom that is pure, it's valuable, it's precious. And so we speak among those who are mature the wisdom that comes from God. Second of all, we looked at the specialness of this wisdom. Is this just like any other wisdom? Could you go to college? Could you go to university? Or is this what they're teaching up at CSUP? No. No, this wisdom is very special. It is wisdom in a mystery hidden. Verse 7, we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery hidden, but which God predestined before the ages for our glory. It's so special, God predetermined that this wisdom would be to get us who believe in Christ all the way into the kingdom. This wisdom is what God uses to save us. It's what he uses to sanctify us. It's what he uses to secure us so that we would enter into the kingdom of God. It's very special wisdom. In fact, it's so special, verse 8, none of the rulers of this age knew this wisdom, because if they had known this wisdom, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. The thing is, they lacked this wisdom. They did not know that Jesus is the Lord of glory. But you know what? They crucified him just as it is written, eye has not seen, nor ear heard, nor have entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for those who love him. Those who crucified Jesus Christ did not love him. And this wisdom that comes from God had not entered into their ear or their eyes or their heart. And therefore, they thought they were doing right. They actually crucified Christ because they thought he was a blasphemer when he said that he was the Son of God. So this wisdom we speak is very special. And then last week, we talked about the Spirit of God and this wisdom. And we learned that the Spirit of God, verse 10, searches all things. Yes, even the deep things of God. That means he knows your heart right now. Right now, at this very moment, he is searching your heart, examining it, and he knows what you're thinking. He knows how you're responding, how you're reacting. But he also searches the deep things of God. He knows God's thoughts. He knows God's motives. He knows God's purposes. And just like, verse 11, here's an illustration of this, just like no one among men knows the things of a man except the Spirit in him. You know what that means? Nobody really knows what's happening inside you except the Spirit in you. And of course, the Spirit of God. But among men right now, nobody can really see what's going on inside of you. In the same way, no one knows the things of God except the Spirit of God. And you say, well, good for him. He knows what's going on inside of God. But yes, notice what it says next. Verse 12, now we have received not the Spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, that we might know the things freely given to us by God. We have received the Spirit who is inside of God. We've received him inside of us in order that we might know deep things of God, wisdom of God freely given to us in Jesus Christ. And these things, verse 13, we also speak, not in words which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Spirit teaches, comparing spiritual with spiritual. We speak the wisdom that comes from God. We speak special wisdom. We speak wisdom that is taught to us by the Holy Spirit through his word as we compare what he says here with what he says there. And now the question is, what do you do with it? Well, first he says what the natural man does with it. He doesn't receive it. But we want to focus our attention on the spiritual man. And I want you to see four truths about the spiritual man. This is four truths about the mature Christian, the mature woman of God, the mature man of God. And as we do, I would ask you to examine your own life, examine your own heart, examine your own mind. Think about how you respond to the Word of God when it's being read, when it's being taught, when it's being preached. Do you have a bumper sticker that says, I'd rather be fishing? Because you know the natural man, that's what he's like. The ungodly man, the man who doesn't have the Spirit of God, when the Word of God is being spoken or preached or taught, he'd rather be somewhere else. Notice, first thing I want you to know about the spiritual man, he is not like the natural man. Where do I get that? Verses 14 and 15a. But the natural man does not receive the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him. Nor can he know them because they are spiritually discerned. But stop there. Now first he tells us about the natural man, and notice what he says about him. But the natural man, well, what is a natural man? A natural man is someone who lacks the Spirit of God. Someone who has not received the Spirit. And because he or she has not received the Spirit, this person, notice, does not receive the things of the Spirit of God. Well, what does he do with them? What does this natural man or woman do with, for example, the gospel of Christ? Because that's where this wisdom of God all starts. He says, that's ridiculous. I don't need that. He or she rejects the gospel. Now, does this mean that whatever you say from the Bible to the natural man, they necessarily reject? For example, let's say that you say to somebody, God is good. Does the natural man necessarily say, no, God is bad? Well, he might. She might. But Paul is speaking here, the Spirit of God is speaking here, about the gospel of Christ in all its fullness. He's not talking about just picking individual truths out of the Bible. He's saying the natural man does not receive the gospel of Jesus Christ in all its fullness. That's what he has in mind when he says the things of the Spirit of God. And what the natural man does is reject those things. Why? Why does the natural man not receive the things of the Spirit of God? Why does he reject them? Verse 14. They are foolishness to him. Actually, and this is a very important point, notice carefully, it actually says it. is foolishness to him. Why do I make that clarification? Because Paul is now looking at the things of the Spirit of God, all this wisdom that we have in Christ, as a unit. Okay? Which you can call the gospel. And he's saying, it, Christ crucified, and all the wisdom of God concerning marriage and family and truth and relationships and the government, it is foolishness to the natural man. He listens to the gospel, and in his mind or in his heart, what happens is he thinks, that's crazy. That's ridiculous. Why would I give my life for Christ? Why would I lay down my life for Christ? Why would I follow Christ? And the natural man does not follow him. 118, chapter 1, verse 18. The message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing. Another description of the natural man. Sad news here concerning the natural man. He is perishing. He is on his way to a Christless eternity. That is the natural man. The message of the cross, chapter 1, verse 18, is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. So, the natural man does not receive the things of the Spirit of God, chapter 2, verse 14, for they are foolishness to him. Well, can't he just, whenever he wants, decide, you know what, I think now I'll know the things of the Spirit of God. I kind of put it off to old age, now I think I will just know them. Can he do that? Not according to verse 14. The natural man does not receive the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him. And now this goes deeper. Nor is he able to know them. That is a statement of man's inability. The natural man, the person without the Spirit of God, the unbelieving, unregenerate man, is not able to know. He lacks the power. And this is not the only time that God speaks of sinful man's inability. He is not able to save himself. He cannot save himself from this condition. John 6:44, a statement of man's inability. Jesus said, "No one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws him." I mean, that is, a child can understand those words. How many can come to Jesus without the Father drawing them? Zero. Some people don't like that truth, but it's the truth. And you know what the natural man does with that? He doesn't receive it. You can spot an unbeliever. They will reject what Christ says. That person does not have the Spirit. Jesus said in John 6:65, "I said to you, no one can come to me unless it has been granted him by my Father." Inability. He does not have the ability, apart from the Holy Spirit, to come to Christ. He is desperately, completely dependent upon God. You know what the natural man does with that? Rejects it. John 14:17, "The world cannot receive the Spirit of truth because it neither sees him nor knows him." Statement of the world's inability. Romans 8:7, "The carnal mind is not subject to the law of God, nor indeed can it be subject to the law of God." The natural man cannot just say, you know what, from now on, I'm going to submit to the law of God and keep all the Ten Commandments. Can't do it. Romans 8:8, "Those who are in the flesh cannot please God." These are statements that God gives in his wisdom about the natural man's inability. What does the natural man do with these statements about the natural man? He doesn't receive them. They're foolishness to him. Nor can he know them because, verse 14, they are spiritually discerned. They are only discerned by the work of the Holy Spirit. Without the power and the work of the Holy Spirit, the natural man is helpless. He's lost. He's perishing. He is desperately in need of a work of God to open his blind eyes, to open his deaf ears, to open his dumb mouth, to open his hard heart and save him. And that's why we pray that God might be gracious to grant repentance and forgiveness and salvation. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. But you know what? I have good news for you who are in Christ. The spiritual man is not like the natural man. That's the first thing I want you to understand. You're not like him. You're not like her. You don't see the things I just said to you as foolishness. You say, yep, That's the word of God. I even see a bunch of heads shaking. Yeah, that's what Jesus said. Amen. That is the word of God. I receive that. That's wisdom to me. That is not foolishness. And I can know these things. They are spiritually discerned, but I have the Holy Spirit. And listen, good news for you. If you are a Christian, you're not like the natural man. You know why you're not like the natural man? Because you're not a natural man. You are a supernatural man. You have the Holy Spirit of Jesus Christ dwelling within you so that you can understand the things of the Spirit of God. So the first truth I hope you understand is the spiritual man is not like the natural man. He does receive the things of the Spirit. He does receive the gospel of Christ. He's able to know it. And so humbly, gladly, wholeheartedly, the spiritual man receives whatever the Spirit of God says, even if it doesn't fit with his logic, even if it doesn't fit with his own preconceived notions. And you know what? I will challenge you on this, beloved. Listen. Even if you were taught something as a young person that you believed, and later you see that the Spirit of God says something different in the Bible, if you are a spiritual man of God, you will accept what it says in the Bible, and you will reject whatever it is you were taught as a kid, because here is your authority. Here is your authority. Second, the spiritual man judges all things. Notice verse 15. But he who is spiritual judges all things. All things is all things here. The spiritual man discerns. Now the word for discern or judge is the same word that was just used in verse 14. The Greek scholar Robertson says, this word refers to a sifting process to get at the truth and make a decision just like a judge does. What does a judge do? Sifts through all the data to get to the truth before making a decision. This is what the spiritual man does. The spiritual man, by the Spirit of God, by his power, and using the Word of God, discerns various things. Like, let me give you an illustration. Got an email the other day. Where'd Steve go? Is he still here? Steve, are you still here? Maybe the team had to go. Oh, well, there he is. See, I caught you. Ha ha. Steve sent me an email the other day. Hey, you know, the team wants to come up and talk about the trip to the Philippines. How much time can we have? Well, the spiritual man's got to discern. 5 minutes. I didn't say that. And I just prayed and I thought, you know, instead of making him and them work around me, I'll work around them. I said, you know what? There's about 45 minutes for the sermon and you guys update. Why don't you take the time you need and I'll have to work around it. And we'll accommodate. Why would we do that? Because they went 10,000 miles or more overseas to preach the gospel of Christ, and we prayed and gave money to support them. Why should we say you get 5 minutes to tell us what God did? That would be crazy. So no, but now I know that puts the burden on you guys to be spiritual people and say, well, what do we do now? Well, that the schedule changed and we didn't get notified. Spiritual judges all things. You assess, what do we do? Well, being anxious would be wrong. Spiritual man thinks, I can't be anxious here. How about get angry? Well, no, that can't be right. That's not spiritual. How about rejoice in the Lord always? And again, I say rejoice. Praise God that they went all that way and preached the gospel to those people. How many places have you been where the schools welcome evangelists in and where the police say, why don't you come on down to the station and preach Christ to us too? Oh, and come on into the jail and talk to some of our inmates. There aren't many places I've been that are like that. The spiritual man judges all things concerning marriage, concerning family, concerning health, concerning finances, concerning old age, concerning death and dying, concerning raising kids. The spiritual man is constantly, this is the present tense verb, constantly sifting through and thinking through, well, Lord, here's my situation. What do you say about this? Please help me. I need your counsel. The spiritual man, first of all, is not like the natural man. The spiritual man, second, judges all things by the Spirit of God, by the Word of God. Third, this one is going to knock your socks off. Third, yet he himself is rightly judged by no one. Whoa, what? Doesn't that sound scary? Because it sounds like it says, Oh, so what? So Dwayne back there, so he's a mature Christian. He can say anything he wants, do anything he wants, and nobody can give any input? It's not saying nobody can give any input. It's just saying that the mature Christian, because the mature Christian has the Spirit of God, because the mature Christian has the Word of God, and because the mature Christian is making decisions by the Spirit and by the Word, no man is rightly that man's judge. Who is? God. That's what this is saying. Rightly, there's no one among men who can rightly judge the servant of God. Why? Because the servant of God has the Spirit of God and has the Word of God and is seeking to judge everything according to what is pleasing to God. So what man can stand up and say, you shouldn't have given them all that time? Well, I did. You shouldn't have gone past noon, but I did. For the sake of the Word of God, and anybody's free to leave. There's no bars back there. Open door. If you got to be somewhere, take off. And none of us can be your judge. Isn't that great? That is great news. It means that if you're a mature Christian, it doesn't mean much to you what other people say about you. Want me to prove that? Take a look over at chapter 4, verse 3. And Paul's going to apply this to his own personal life. You know, but with me, he says, it's a very small thing that I should be judged by you. Doesn't mean a lot to me that you judge me. Or that I shouldn't even be judged by a human court. It doesn't mean a lot to me what the court says if I get dragged in front of them and they judge me. You shouldn't have gone past noon, Pastor Snyder. Well, I did. Paul says, it just doesn't mean that much to me what men say against me. In fact, he says, I don't even judge myself. Well, why not? Well, because, verse 4, I don't know of anything against myself, but I'm still not justified by that. Even if you say, I don't know of anything against me, you're not the judge of you, ultimately, if you're a mature Christian. Only Jesus is. He says, I don't even judge myself. I don't know anything against myself, yet I'm not justified by this. The one who judges me is the Lord. And that's the way it is if you're a spiritual man. Your judge is God. And that's why you're trying to make judgments about everything based on the Word of God and the Spirit of God. You're not just out there with nothing. You've got the authority of God's Word. You've got the Holy Spirit in you. And if you're a spiritual man, you'll get input from others. Hey, what should we do here? You'll seek godly counsel. And you know what? This applies to everything. Everything. Judging, am I going to go to church today? Should I go to church? Where should I go to church? How long should I stay at church? What time should I show up at church? What should I do in church? What should I do now? The spiritual man judges everything and is processing, sifting through, trying to think, Lord, I want to do what's pleasing to you. Why is the spiritual man rightly judged by no man? Fourth truth. And final, we're at the end. Verse 16, because who has known the mind of the Lord that he may instruct him? A quote from Isaiah chapter 40, verse 13. What's the answer? What is the answer? Look at it again. What's the answer? Wait. No, that's not the answer. Ask the question first. Who has known the mind of the Lord that he may instruct God? Who knows God's mind so well that you can actually become God's teacher? Nobody. That is the answer to why it is that no one can rightly judge the spiritual man. Because the spiritual man has, now give me the end of the verse, the mind of Christ. That is a profound truth. If you are a spiritual man or woman, A, you're nothing like the natural man because you're not a natural man. You have the Spirit of God dwelling within you. You don't reject the things of the Spirit of God. You receive them. You don't count them as foolishness. You count them as wisdom. It's not that you can't know them. You can know them because they're spiritually discerned. And you, number two, are spiritually discerning all things. You are seeking to take Scripture and what is pleasing to God and do everything that is pleasing to the Father. And third, no one has any right to judge you in the decisions that you're making. Why? Because they aren't qualified to instruct God, and you have the mind of Christ. That is a scary truth. That is a scary truth. But it's the reality if you're a mature man or woman of God. So, application question. Is every Christian a spiritual man or woman? Sadly not. Sadly not. Verse 1 of chapter 3, "And I, brethren, I couldn't speak to you as to spiritual people. I couldn't speak to you as to mature Christians." Want to know why, Corinthians, Paul says? "I can only speak to you as to carnal people, as to babies." This is a rebuke. Because he says, "I fed you with milk, not with solid food, for until now you weren't able to receive it. And even now you're still not able, for you're still carnal, because where there are envy and strife and divisions, aren't you carnal and behaving like mere men?" Listen, there's no sin in being 8 years old. If you're eight, that's not a sin. But if you're a Christian and you keep on acting like an eight-year-old as a Christian for your whole Christian life, that's not good. See, the Christian is always to be seeking maturity. The Christian is to be always growing up, growing in the grace and knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. So the thing is, not every Christian is spiritual, not every Christian is mature, but what does God want? Every Christian to become mature. And so Paul's statements about the spiritual man here and his rebuke of the Corinthians is to say, listen, you need to press on to maturity. So let's get into application on verse 10 of chapter 1. It all ties to this. "I plead with you, brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you all speak the same thing." I want you all to get to the point where you're mature in Christ and speaking the wisdom of God in Christ, so that there would be no divisions among you, but that you would be perfectly joined together in the same mind and in the same judgment. That's the goal. Beloved, we've talked about this wisdom now for weeks with one simple goal in mind, that all of us would pursue Christian maturity by digging into the wisdom of God. Let's pray. Father, we thank you. Thank you for the morning. Thank you for the good news about what you did through this team in the Philippines. Thank you for the beautiful singing for our dear sister Isloy. What a precious blessing. I don't know if we have to make it to 98 to have our family sing songs to us like that, but if so, then I want to make 98. God, we praise you. We rejoice with Isloy at her upcoming birthday. We thank you so much that her family is here with her. Thank you for the love that they demonstrate for one another. And what a beautiful picture for us. Thank you for the love of this team from the Philippines coming and sharing with all of us. And just thank you for their joy at giving the report today. We pray your blessing upon Mr. and Mrs. Wiley as they are with the kids upstairs, and bless those children. Father, bless our children's church, our kids club that's coming up this week. And Father, help us to grow. Help us to grow up, that we might all become mature, spiritual men and women of God, speaking the same things, united together, having the same mind and the same judgment. May it be for the glory of Jesus Christ and the furtherance of the gospel. Amen.